are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I am your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back, everyone. How you all doing? Well, check this out. It has been a crazy week. I don't even know where to start. Well, y'all know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but we're doing Super Soul Sunday here tonight with Dr. Brown. He's going to join us shortly, and we're going to talk about unconditional love and forgiveness and acceptance and all that good stuff in life, because we need it. He's an author, which is great because he's got a great book out there that we're going to talk about tonight. Now, he's an author, he's a speaker, and he's going to give us some really good advice tonight. So if you all need some advice on unconditional love and forgiveness and acceptance, then you don't want to miss this show. Plus, when I was in Sundance, yep, I had the best time in Sundance. I met a sweetheart, Brianne Johnson. Love Brianne Johnson. She's in this new movie called Red Wing. It's in theaters now, so y'all got to go catch it. What a story. So it's a family story, and we're going to talk about it because it's got a twist, and it deals with foster children and life and about unconditional love. So definitely you want to stay tuned tonight. Tweet me at Max Tucci so we can talk about life and what's going on and taking life to the max. So who did y'all root for the Super Bowl? Tweet me at Max Tucci. I want to know who y'all been rooting for. And we got to say hi, of course, to Jackie. Listening in Atlanta. Thanks for tuning in, Jackie. Super Bowl, was it good? Was it bad? And then we had that shocking news today, you know, with the death of a mighty actor. Now, if you all go to eyeonsouthflorida.com, you're going to see my interview with George Whipple there, and we spoke about Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's just incredible. And what a story, how literally they found him dead in his apartment at 46 years old, and they said drugs were involved, and this whole thing OD'd. It was just it's so too much. And you know, he allegedly didn't have his kids were being babysat. His kids were at someone else's house, and allegedly he never came to pick them up. So the friend who was taking care of his kids or watching them for the day went to go drop off the kids off and found his body there. If you all want to talk about it, tweet me at Max Tucci and hashtag Philip Seymour Hoffman. Wow. Well, are you all fighting over this whole Super Bowl thing? Because, you know, it kind of irks me because, you know, I'm like Mr. Colorado now, getting the house out there in Boulder. And I really thought that we were going to, you know, tear it up and do our thing, Denver. But I guess the only Bronco that got away was O.J. Simpson's. You remember that? That white Bronco? Ooh. Well, I'm getting a tweet right now that I'm a big Bronco fan. My 9-year-old has no voice from the game. That's Megan Other. Thanks so much for tweeting me. Keep tweeting me. Well, I want to play a song tonight because it's one of my favorite songs from Sabrina Johnson called Peace. But before we get there, I got to remind you that we're also going to have Dr. Maya Love and her Vedic astrological forecast for every star sign for the month of February 2014. Can you all believe it's February? Well, I've got to tell you all this right now. I have got like the month of traveling planned for me. So I'm going to be here. The days that I'm not here, you know, we're going to give you some Dr. Tamara filling in and giving you some good sex advice and love and relationship advice, because we all need that from time to time. It's nice to get inspired by Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Do you all have your LA Talk Radio app? Because you know it's free. So if you don't have it by now, shame on you, because you can go get that. Follow LA Talk Radio on Facebook, because there's some great things that we have. We have like our own little tab now, so we're just a click away. But you know what I say every Sunday night, if you have the app, you can take me to bed with you if you're on the East Coast. Or if you go to bed at 8 o'clock on the West Coast, take me to bed with you. Or if you're listening from Indonesia, like I have some really great listeners, wake up with Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio every Sunday. Y'all know that by now. 6 years we're going into this, but I just got to remind you. So Dr. Brown is going to be joining us, and Brianne Johnson is going to be joining us, and Dr. Maya Love is going to be in the studio giving you the astrological forecast. But until then, we need some peace, don't we? By Sabrina Johnson on Max and Friends. Stay tuned. Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and that was Sabrina Johnston. Peace. Don't y'all want some peace in your life? Well, do y'all want to forgive too? Because I think with forgiveness, you get peace. And I think with forgiveness and peace, you get unconditional love. There's like that thread. It's that web where when you have all of them, life is good and you really take life to the max. So we've got Dr. Acidon Brown. He is joining us tonight because we're going to talk about unconditional love. We're going to talk about forgiveness and acceptance because it is Super Soul Sunday here on Super Bowl Sunday. Dr. Brown, pull up your mic and welcome to Max and Friends.
Good evening. Thank you.
We're so glad we have you here because you are, you know, what people are craving for. You've got the answers for life in this unconditional love and forgiveness that we're going to talk about tonight. And tell us real quick about your book and what made you write it.
Well, you know, my background, I have a degree in theology and religion as well as clinical psychology. My doctorate is. And so my background is a spiritual base, but I wrote the book because I felt compelled to, after working with patients for years, finding that they were all coming to me with the same issues. Having difficulty saying, I love thyself, really coming to a place of peace in life. And for me, love is peace, and peace is love. And if I have that unconditional peace, and it's something I have had to learn myself, but when I have that unconditional peace, it doesn't matter if I do well or do poorly, if I fail or if I succeed. And when I began teaching that to my patients and showing them, hey, you're not your past. You're not the successes that you have. Yes, those successes are a part of you, but they don't define you. I began seeing success in my patients, and they own that. That's their reward. That's their gain. And for me, you know, that's why I had to write this book, because I was taking something that for years I've used with my practice, saw success, and saw people's lives turn around. You know, I heard you talk about Philip Seymour this evening, and I had a patient a few years ago that was on the same path in life, and he began seeing this and understanding that, you know, I have to love myself. It begins with me.
Now, how do we love ourselves, though, Dr. Brown? Because, you know, we go through the trials and tribulations of life every day. And, you know, there's that great saying, if you can't love yourself, how are you supposed to love somebody else? But how do we take that moment? Because we talk about it here all the time on Max and Friends. And I always tell people, look in the mirror and say, I love you to you first. But how do we get people to break that bondage of not loving themselves?
Well, you know, it's looking, I'll give you a quick example. I had a patient a number of years ago that taught me a valuable lesson. And this patient came to me with scars and had been damaged, had been in an abusive relationship. And she showed me that, you know, it is possible to love yourself. She had had a successful career. She's given me permission to share her story, and she shares the story as a speaker. And the thing about this lady was, you know, she had been injured by this guy. Her face had been damaged. She had been disfigured. And yet she had to come to a place that she could see herself beyond what is the outer shell. And for me, in the process of becoming a psychologist, I began recognizing, why do I fear? Why do I struggle with insecurities? And loving yourself goes deeper. It goes to the heart of who we are. It goes to the heart of life, and that is, I have to love the person within. It's that person that, you know, Max, I'm sure you've had friends that come to you and say, you know, so-and-so, I really don't like her. And you'll tell them, but you don't really know that person. You don't really know that person, you may tell that friend. And what we're saying when we're saying that is, you don't know the core of that person. You know, this person may have drugs. They may do the most egregious things in life, but to really get to know that person, you have to have an intimate relationship. And that's the heart of it. We have to get to know our person. We have to get intimate with who we are.
And how do we do that? Can you give us some steps? Like, can you give us three steps to learning who we are and to get intimate with ourselves?
Well, you know, one of the best steps for me was having a child. I'm not advocating everyone go out and have a child, but for me, it was in the face of that child I recognized you know, I want my child. I want my child to one day love herself or to love him. I have three children. I want my children to love themselves in spite of their failures, in spite of their successes. How do we do that? First of all, we have to look at ourselves and say, whatever I do, whatever success I have placed upon me, whatever failure that comes in my life, it's just a badge that I place on my jacket. It's an honor placed upon my life. It's not an identifier of who I am. I have to begin seeing myself beyond that. Uh-huh. Secondly, we have to look at those failures and say, okay, so there's a roadblock. There's a challenge in life. Rather than seeing the failure as a roadblock, as a blockade in my life, I have to look at that roadblock and say, I can go around that. I have the choice to go around that. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be identified with that. You know, so many people in life, you know, whether it be, you know, someone like Rodman or anyone else in life that we hear in the news constantly, they're failing. Justin Bieber, another example. These guys are having some challenges in life. They can be identified by that challenge, or they can look at that challenge and say, so what? I take on that challenge. You know, I'm a fan of the Olympics, and I can't wait till they start this week. And, you know, I think about these Olympians, and, you know, they face challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And in facing those challenges, they could either be defeated by, you know, perhaps a twisted ankle, or be defeated by losing this Olympic, or they can look at it and go, there's another Olympic coming up.
You know, because I always say, it's true, because in life I always say, you know what? I say there's no mistakes in life, there's only lessons learned. And I think the way to really loving ourselves is we have to forgive ourselves first for whatever it is that we have in life that doesn't line up with where we are at this moment. And I always say, you know, we're free from the past, we're free from the future, all we have is this moment now. So give us some steps how we can forgive ourselves.
Well, one of the steps I would say is taking personal responsibility. Accepting that's in my life. You know, we often play that blame and shame game in life.
Uh-huh.
Blaming others for the mistakes we make or taking on the shame. But instead, we have to take responsibility and say, yeah, you know, I failed. I messed up. So what? It's mine. I own it. You know, for a lot of us, true. It goes back to that failure. You know, if I have to take responsibility, boy, I feel shame around it. Oh, you know, I have to dig a hole for myself. No, look at it and say, this is a learning lesson. This is part of life. This is a part of that moving towards forgiveness, is owning that and understanding that, you know, blame and shame have no room in our lives.
That's
it has no room in our lives. And, you know, changing the way we communicate with ourselves.
So what's a good way to communicate? What's a good way to communicate? Because we're so hard on ourselves. We're so harsh on ourselves. So basically, when we're that way, it reflects on how we communicate with others. So when we're in these self-abusive relationships, let's call them, because we do abuse ourselves from time to time, how do we get out of that flow and out of that funky mode to say, you know what, I got to get up and I got to get out of this, and I just have to live life and enjoy the moment and myself? How do we enjoy ourselves?
Well, you know, one of the ways that, you know, one thing I offer my patients is to meditate and to do breathing exercises. You know, I think that's in fact, one of the first tools I offer my patients is, you know, you need to be able to be calm. When we're nervous and fretful and fearful, we begin to, who we are, we begin to lose control of focus. We begin to lose, we have to be relaxed. And, you know, the way we have to communicate is by what we're telling ourselves through the I statements. You know, I could either say, I am a failure, or I am human.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever follows I am will find you. So I always say that here, too. Whatever you say I am, be careful, because it will find you. But your book is called Waiting to Live. And
it
in
is.
Waiting to Live, how long was your wait to live, Dr. Brown?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I lived a life of legalism. And, you know, for many years, I was trying to live by the law. live by doctrine, live by religion. And when I began to find peace was when I began to set these things aside and stop living according to everyone else's rules and regulations and doctrine, and began realizing the only way I'm going to find peace is by accepting who I am, approving of who I am. And I began to find that in the early 90s after a lot of struggles. And, you know, I'll be honest, am I perfect? I've not reached it. And that's something that's going to take time. You know, have I found peace? Oh, yes. You know, and I believe peace is that passage to love.
And now, how did you find peace, Dr. Brown?
By beginning, you know, to be honest, it was through a number of heartaches, a number of failures, and what people tried to define me as. And finding peace for me was looking at myself and saying, you know, I need to stop being defined by these statements. I need to stop being approved by these people. I need to stop looking for approval. And finding peace for me was through introspection, looking inward and accepting myself for who I am, connecting to that person. Because I do believe in a spiritual being. I believe we're an embodiment of a spirit. And each one of us has a different journey, you know. And if you consider our physical bodies, that's one way too that I have found peace, is that my physical body is just a cargo vessel. It's taking me to that place. It's not who I am. I'm aboard this vessel, but the vessel's not who I am. And yeah. So what if I end up injured? So what if I end up gaining weight, losing weight? You know, it's not a representative of Asa Brown. Asa Brown's aboard the ship, and sometimes I have to put some patches on the ship, but the ship is not Asa Brown.
That's the truth.
And I just, yeah.
You know, I've got to ask you, because sometimes, as you know, especially with having children, and how many years are you married now?
My wife and I will be married this August, 17 years.
17 years. Okay. So we know that family and having a family, mm-hmm. and having siblings and our mm-hmm. mothers and fathers and everyone who's listening out there who's having strife with your family or sibling rivalry, because family sometimes is the hardest to forgive. So how do we get on the path to forgive family members? Because we have to live with them.
We do. Well, and you know, and again, it comes back to me. You know, I can only truly, you know, it's often we have struggles forgiving ourselves because we place conditions on ourselves. I'm only worthy up to this condition. And the same is true for others. To forgive someone else, you know, doesn't mean we have to like them. Uh-huh. You know, loving someone does not mean we have to like them. But loving someone says, you know, I love you in spite of who you are.
That's
you know,
true.
And sometimes I love myself in spite of who I am. There are many times I fail and I think, oh, Asa Brown, what are you doing? And, you know, I look at that and I take that because it always starts with Asa Brown.
Uh-huh.
And the more I can love myself, the more I have to offer other people. You know, I have studied a number of different religions in my life, but a lot of them say the same thing, and that is, you know, they address love. They address this state of, you know, of trying to be in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not trying to proselytize here on any particular religion or faith, but what I am saying is you have to find within yourself that spiritual person who you are. Even for atheists, I've had atheists in my office. And, you know, again, who they are. There's more to that person than what meets the eye. There's more to that person than you and I will ever get to know. Because what
Absolutely.
They say to themselves, yeah, what they say to themselves is often hidden from us. But, you know, the more I can start saying those positive things to myself, the more I can look at myself and say, you know, Asa, yeah, you made an error in life, but that's not who you are. The easier it will come for me to look at other people and do that. You know, it's not an easy path. I mean, but if it was easy, you know, would we I don't think we would accept it.
Yeah.
You know, often we want things to be complicated. That is true, because then we have excuses.
Well, you know, I always say it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. And I think that's where life takes us. So was writing your book, Waiting to Live, easy process for you?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was a great reflection for me, you know. I learned a lot about myself. And, you know, and everything I write a regular column for the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy, and a bi-monthly column. And each one's a lesson to Asa Brown. Each article I write comes back to me. You know, I'm not pointing fingers unless I began pointing them at myself. But the same with this book. You know, this book, you know, it was a struggle. But through it, I learned a lot about myself.
Now, who would you say yourself is? Because that's a question we always have. You know, who are you? And who would you say yourself is? Your true self.
The true self. When who I am, that person is a person that wants, you know, I think it comes down to this for every human being on the planet. We all want to be loved. We want it all to be approved. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be appreciated. And who I am is that same person. I want to be approved of. I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. And that person is like a child. I mean, if you think of a child, children are gregarious by nature. Uh-huh. So a child, if the child's out on the playground and he falls and skins his knee, he's going to get up, if you're not looking, wipe it off, dust it off, and run. But if you're looking, he may for a moment begin to frown. He may begin to feel sad. But, you know, for most children, they are going to dust it off. They're going to move forward. The who I am goes to the heart of my core beliefs. What do I say to myself? How do I see myself? How do I see my world? How do I see how the world affects me? But more than that, the core of who I am is that person. You know, I'm a firm believer in spirituality. Part of that comes back to, I spent about a year in a hospital in 1980. And during that time, I learned a lot about Ace Brown. My fears, that's a part of who I am. That's okay. You know, a part of who I am are my fears. A part of who I am are my successes, are those things I've done right and wrong. But they're not me. You know, one thing I find interesting is I've worked with the RCMP here in Canada. I'm an American and a Canadian. And, you know, I was born in the States and raised in the U.S. But, you know, those are just aspects of who I am. Those are storylines in my life. But they're not representations of Asa Brown. That person, getting to know who that person is, you know, let me ask you, you know, I don't know you, Max. Mm-hmm. But if I was to ask you, who's Max?
Who Max is who Max. Max is an authentic. I'll tell you who Max is. You could tune in every Sunday night to learn who Max is, because Max is authentic to who he is. Max owns what he is. And not only is Max is fearless and stands in the present moment and is forgiven from the past because it doesn't exist and doesn't worry about
the
future.
Right.
And who Max is, and I say to myself all the time, I forgive myself for thinking that I'm not perfect, not good enough, not smart enough, and not lovable, because I claim my perfection and my enoughness, my intelligence, and knowing that I'm loved and lovable, and that who I am and who I represent to be and who my authentic self is, not only shall shine and continue to be Max, but will leave a legacy here on earth that people will say, you know what? Max is who I inspire to be. So that's who Max is.
Yeah. No, and you know what? I 100% agree with you. My wife is sitting beside me jotting notes here. You know, the convenience of doing this from home, right? You know, who I am too, you know, is a person of authenticity. If you don't like me, that's okay. That's a part of getting to know who Asa Brown is. You know, every time I look to someone else, that's the thing, is if I'm outside and it's snowing, imagine that right now, but if it's snowing and it's icy and I fall and And I slip, what's the first thing most people do? They look around. Oh, no. Who saw me? What am I going to think?
I get up.
I do, too. I get up. That's right. But I had to learn that. Because a long time in my life, I looked around and I would, oh, no. You know, they're laughing at me. That must be an indication of who I am. But instead, now I look at it and go, well, that's here's a valuable lesson for me in my life. As I had a patient come in one time, a young teenage girl, and she's sitting across from me, and I knew where I was at in my life. I had seen the progression in this example. She comes in, and she's sitting across from me, and she looks at me, and she points her finger to her face, and I'm thinking, okay, what's she trying to tell me here? And she says, oh, gross. I said, what? She says, you have something on your face. Oh, really? Oh, well, thank you. Let me go take care of that. She was more embarrassed. I mean, she was so embarrassed for me that I didn't need to be embarrassed. But more than that, what is embarrassment? It's our need, just like that person looking around that has slipped and fallen on eyes. They're looking for approval. And that's one of the key things. If I can approve of myself, I won't need your approval, Max. If I can accept Asa Brown, why do I need your acceptance? It almost sounds narcissistic. And all a narcissist is someone trying to be healthy. You know, they actually have some great tools. But it's one of my favorite shows a few years ago was House, Dr. House, you know. And if you think of Dr. House, that character was a narcissist, grade A narcissist. Because if you and I were face-to-face with him, he would tell us he didn't need us. Behind that closed door, he would cry and want us, beg for us. And that's true of a lot of narcissists. They do need us.
Yeah.
And, you know, a healthy person recognizes, I need you. I love myself. I'm going to love you. The more I love myself, the more I'm going to love you. The more I forgive myself, the more I can forgive you. The more I approve of myself, wow, the more I can approve of you as well.
What a lesson that is.
It is
the lesson right there. And you know what? That is, because we've got to move on from here, but that is where we're going to stop for tonight with Dr. Brown, because that is the lesson. When you love yourself more and when you can admit that you need others to love, you'll love yourself more. And when you can admit that you need to forgive others, you can forgive yourself. So on that note, everyone, Dr. Brown, for more information, go to asadonbrown.com. The book, Waiting to Live. Are you all waiting to live? Are you all waiting to take that joyride? Dr. Brown, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Max and Friends. We're going to talk soon. And thank you again for being here. It was really a pleasure having you on.
Thank you as well.
All right, have a good night, Dr. Brown. Well, everyone, let's take that joyride together here right now on Max and Friends. Come on, let's join the joyride, Ronan. And when we're back, Brian Johnson from the movie Red Wings. Stay tuned.
Hello, you fool. I love you.
Balloon.
She's the heart of the fun fair. She got me whistling a bright red tune. And it all begins where it ends. And she's all my magic friend. She says hello. She's a child of the sun. We're a part of this together. Could never turn around and run. Don't be no fortune teller to know where my lucky love belongs. Won't know
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. How you all doing tonight? What you all doing tonight? Did you all watch the Super Bowl? What's going on in your life? That was Joyride. Did you all go down that ride with me? Because I love a good Joyride. Because I love you, fool. Want to join the Joyride? Well, we've got a great actress who's going to join us now on Max and Friends in just a moment. Brianne Johnson is her name because I met her at Sundance Film Festival. And there's a movie that she did called Red Wing. And we're going to talk about it tonight because it's a story that you all need to hear. Because it talks about unconditional love and forgiveness and acceptance and just being in that moment of family. And who are our families? And would you take someone in? I want to know. Would you all take someone in? If they were, you know, like there was just in the news here, some lady left their baby in a basket at the fire station. Would you take that baby in? Well, let's find out from our guest, Brianne Johnson, if she took in that baby in the movie Red Wing. Welcome to Max and Friends and pull up your mic.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so glad that you're here tonight, Brianne Johnson. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, let's talk about real quick the Super Bowl, because I'm sure being from Washington that you're ecstatic.
Oh, you know, honestly, I do not keep up with football as much as I should. That's kind of embarrassing.
I am so glad we're on the same page, because you know what? People are like, what are you doing for the Super Bowl? I'm like, I'm going to the ice cream store and I'm taking out the Jeep and taking the doors off. I could care less.
That's pretty much how I am. So
we are peas in the same pod. Well, you know, I met you at Sundance, which was super fun. And you're promoting your movie Red Wing. So why don't you tell us a little about Red Wing?
Yeah, Red Wing is about, it's a romantic drama. It's about my character named Maddie Blanton. In the very beginning of the movie, meets a young boy named Francis, about 8 years old. And she learns about him that he's a foster child and doesn't really have a family and doesn't have, you know, very many connections with people or anywhere to go. And he ends up losing his foster mother. And what ends up happening is I take him in as my own child. And kind of raise him. And then the story goes on for about another 12 to 15 years.
And there's a lot of drama that goes on in this movie, too, because it's just like all of a sudden your whole house is turned upside down.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting twists and turns that happen along the way.
Now, I've got to tell you, because we've got someone tweeting us right now, and they said, how did you get the name Brianne and the way you spell it? Because they spelled their daughter's name the same way. So tell us about your name real quick. Thank you, Twitter follower.
About my name. I honestly don't even know why my mom chose to spell it that way.
It's a good spelling though, right?
It's definitely unique. I've never met another Brianne that spells it my way. It's Brianne.
Yeah.
Normally they put an E on the end or an I in the middle or something, but no, that's not me.
That's not you. Now, you know, you worked with Luke Perry. So how was it working with him in this film?
It was
Red Wing.
Oh, great. Yeah, and Red Wing, he was very nice to me, and he was a very intense personality and very type A, but I kind of liked that about him because I like, you know, organization and order as well and such, but I could tell he was looking out for me a lot and, like, you know, just taking me under his wing, you know, in a way, so.
His Red Wing.
Right, duh. That's
now,
funny.
You know, was this like your first big major picture?
Yeah, pretty much. I did do another feature film, but not nearly as significant as a role as this one. And in Red Wing, I got the lead. And the other one I did called The Appearing, I had, like, you know, a very small role.
Now, tell us about the cast, because you've got Luke Perry. Roll off the list, because it's a good list of cast members.
It is a good list, and I feel so lucky to have been a part of it. There's Luke Perry, like you said. Then there's Frances Fisher, who plays the mother in Titanic, of Rose. She's very stern and scary and nice and stern in this movie as well. Then there's also Bill Paxton, classic. Gotta love him. And then there's, who else? Joel Carter. Have you seen Justified?
Yes.
Yeah, any Justified fan, you know Joel Carter, the blonde, beautiful, sexy woman.
Now, tell us about you, because I hear that you like martial arts.
I do. I do. It's
How did
fun.
You get into martial arts?
Well, when I was in high school, I wanted to go out for things like soccer and baseball, but my oldest sister kept getting injured while doing it, so my mom didn't want me to go out for that. So I convinced her to let me take martial arts instead, which makes no sense. But I did it, and it was really fun.
Totally cool. Now, you live where? You live out in L.A. now, right?
I do live in L.A., yeah.
And how was that transition to all of a sudden, like, be in L.A., and now you're in feature films, and people are talking about you, and when they Google you, you pull up. How does it feel?
It's good. It feels like progress in the direction that I want to be going, and it's really exciting.
Now, speaking of the direction you want to go in, what is the direction for you next? What would you really aspire to? What would you feel like is the right thing for you?
You know, what I would really like to be in the future is one of those actors or actresses that ends up producing a lot of projects as well. Like even ones that I love that aren't necessarily have a part for me in it, but that are really just great stories. And especially if they're based on true stories, I love those too. You know, I want to dabble in all of it. I want to produce and I want to act and I want to, you know, I even want to write a little bit. So.
Now, you know, I'm seeing a note here. I'm getting a little note that you received the Best Actress Award from the International Festival of Cinema. How did that, like, feel all of a sudden? You're like, I'm the best actress.
I did. It was such a surprise because what actually happened at that film festival is, well, normally one person wins for that one award, and they already announced a different lady. A different lady had won for a different movie. I was like, okay, yeah, that's great, you know. And then they said, well, we have another award for this category because people liked it so much that they said, we're just going to vote for her anyway. And then they announced my name and I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. It was just crazy. It was like a whirlwind. It was just, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was so excited. It's my very first one ever. So for acting.
One of many. Cause people are raving about this movie. You know, I saw on YouTube, there's like, you actually tweeted it. You know, people's reviews of the movie and they were just in love with Red Wing. Everyone go to redwingmovie.com, redwingmovie.com. So how is it? You're like sitting at home, you flip on YouTube and all of a sudden all these people are talking about you.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. And honestly, that's the best part. It was when somebody says, like, you know, you did such a great job and you affected me, or the one guy, I think I know the YouTube video you're talking about, but the guy that said, I got to make a few phone calls after watching that movie, that, you know, just pulls on my heartstrings and just makes me feel like I did my job because I affected this person in this way. And it just makes me feel so good because that's how I felt when I read the script. I wanted to be full of more characteristics that Maddie Blanton has. And yeah, so when I text somebody else like that, just it's really rewarding.
It is rewarding. And if you all want to watch my interview with Brianne Johnson, go to ionsouthflorida.com because we were at Sundance Film Festival together. We met at the Slopes and we had a great conversation about Red Wing the movie. So definitely go to ionsouthflorida.com to catch that interview with my friend Brianne Johnson, who's joining us here tonight on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. And the movie again, redwingmovie.com. So go check it out because it's one of those, it's a good family movie, isn't it, Brianne?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a movie you would be proud to, you know, take your family to, and that's going to inspire you. Yeah, definitely.
Now, would you want to do any television?
Yeah, I'm definitely open-minded to it, and that sounds like fun.
And now, where can people find you?
They could go to my Twitter at Brianne, B-R-E-A-N-N. _ Johnson, spelled the normal way, JOHNSON.
Well, I'm so glad to have you as a guest because I know that we're going to see so much more of you. And I just love when I find someone like you who's done an incredible movie and Red Wing the movie. And you're like, you're going to be like out there. And I'm going to be like, I had her on my show back when. So we'll stay friends.
Yeah, definitely.
But on that note, I got to tell everyone to stay tuned because we got to wrap this up because we're going to have the Vedic astrological forecast for the month of February for every star sign right here coming up in just a moment on Max and Friends. Brianne Johnson, thank you so much for joining me tonight here. I had such a great conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. You're so nice to talk to you.
Have a wonderful night. I'm going to talk to you real soon, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night. Redwingmovie.com. Check it out now. And of course, thank you, Dr. Brown. And we had a Johnston and a Johnson because we had Peace with Sabrina Johnston and we had Red Wing Movie with Brianne Johnson. Now we have Dr. Maya Love on Max and Friends for your astrological your Vedic astrological forecast. And I got to say good night and good karma and take life to the max. Stay tuned because we're giving you that forecast now. You might learn something here on Max and Friends every Sunday night on LA Talk Radio. Good night. Take life to the max. Hit it, Dr. Maya. Thanks for being in the studio with us, everyone. Good night.
Hi, everyone. This is Maya from VedicAstroLounge.com on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, bringing you Vedic Astrological Forecast for February 2014. As always, if you have any questions or if you'd like a reading, please feel free to reach me at VedicAstroLounge.com. The planetary positions for the month of February 2014 are as follows. Sun is currently transiting Capricorn but moves into Aquarius on the 13th. Mercury is currently transiting Aquarius and becomes retrograde on February 6th. While it's retrograde, it moves into Capricorn on February 18th. The retrograde motion of Mercury ends on the 28th of this month. Venus is currently transiting Sagittarius and moves into Capricorn on February 26th. Mars moves into Libra on February 5th. Jupiter is currently transiting Gemini and is currently in retrograde motion. Saturn is currently exalted in Libra. The north node of the moon is currently transiting Libra, and the south node of the moon is currently transiting Aries. The highlights of this month are the movement of Mars into Libra and the retrograde motion of Mercury in Aquarius. Mars will join Saturn and the north node of the moon in Libra on the 5th of this month, and it will remain in Libra until the end of March. Mercury will remain retrograde from the 6th of this month to the 28th. There is no need to fear the retrograde motion of Mercury. A retrograde Mercury stimulates your innate psychic and intuitive abilities. It is important to connect with these innate abilities rather than fear it. So this period is a great window of time where you can connect with your intuitive abilities without fear, and this will help you to begin experiencing a brand new world around you. Also, it is a great time to start making life plans with confidence. Here is the astrological forecast for the month of February 2014 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, this is your month. It is time to focus on bringing harmony into your relationships with people at workplace. Taurus, there may be some short travels during this time that might change the way you look at life. Gemini, this is your month. It is important to not have any doubts about your ability to create a better future for yourself. You have the potential to create anything you want to experience. Just put your focus and create. Cancer, this is your month. Family-related challenges will slowly get resolved, and a very bright future is ahead of you. Leo, put your focus on health. Consider incorporating a healthy lifestyle as part of your living. Virgo, you need to pay extra attention to your finance. You might want to wait till the end of the year for any new financial ventures. Libra, put your focus on your well-being. It is important to remain peaceful no matter how tough life situations might appear to be. Remember that you are moving ahead toward a brighter future. Scorpio, it is important to reflect on your past and let go of things that doesn't serve you anymore. Sagittarius, this month will be a great time for romance and relationships. If you are looking for a partner in life, you'll definitely find one. Capricorn, put your focus on career. Avoid any unnecessary workplace conflicts. Aquarius, it's time to focus on any issues related to your past that may need some healing. Pisces, focus on your health and relationships. This is a time for healing. That brings me to the end of the forecast. I would like to wish each and every one of you a wonderful month of love. Please keep loving yourself and all the beings in this universe. The universe will reflect the love back at you in plenty. Thank you and many blessings.